I want to try and go see that.
Yeah, you're always welcome.
Okay, I'd like to call this meeting back to order, if I may.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
I think you have to speak right into the mic, and you have to project, because the acoustics in this room are terrible.
I'm sorry. How's this? Okay. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Cindy Wise, and I'm an engineer on staff in the South Lake Tahoe office of the Lahontan Water Board. And this morning we're going to talk about an update to our salt nutrient management plans, which is item 9 in your agenda. So what I'll do is go over some background of the recycled water policy and then give the status on our 10 priority groundwater basins. I'll explain our process for reviewing and then eventually accepting the salt nutrient management plans, our proposed process anyway, and also our proposed process for extending the deadline for submitting the plans, and ask you to weigh in on our staff recommendations at the end. We will not be asking for any formal action, though, today. So the background part, I'm going to talk about the state recycled water policy, our priority basins, and our regional strategy for doing salt nutrient management planning, and then just quick reminder on the past updates that we've done for you on salt nutrient plans. Okay, water recycling is just simply reusing treated wastewater for other beneficial purposes. And water recycling offers a resource and a financial savings, so it is a valuable resource. Mm-hmm. And water recycling is actually the more modern term for water reclamation, but you might have heard those two being used interchangeably. This shows how we use recycled water in California. You can see that most of the use is for landscape irrigation, ag irrigation, groundwater recharge, and other kinds of non-potable uses, so non-drinking water uses. And you can also see from this that a lot of those uses of recycled water have the potential to impact groundwater quality. And in California, our use of recycled water is increasing because our potable supply of surface and drinking water is limited. Climate change is impacting those supplies even more. And imports of water from outside of the state are also being threatened because it is becoming a big demand. In California, over the last 40 years, there's been almost a fourfold increase in recycled water use. And you can see from this graph that although we're not a huge recycled water use, the trend in our region, which is that little peach color up here, that little peach colored line here is our regional use, is following the trend, increasing. And because of the increasing use and the potential for many of those uses to impact groundwater quality, in 2009, the state adopted the recycled water policy, where the main goal was to increase the use of recycled water while still protecting water quality. The four main parts of the plan, of the policy, excuse me, are to mandate an increase in recycled water use, streamline the recycled water permit process, address constituents of emerging concern, which are those kind of a new class of chemical that's not expected generally to be found in wastewater, things like pharmaceuticals and caffeine. And then what we're focusing on today, which is the requirement that a regional salt nutrient management plan be developed for every groundwater basin in California by 2014. As you know, excessive salt and nutrients lower groundwater quality and reduce its availability as a resource, which is why it's of interest to us. And the impacts to a groundwater basin are regional in nature, so it makes sense to do the plans on a regional scale. If you just regulated recycled water, you wouldn't be addressing all the conditions that can impact a groundwater basin. The recycled water policy spells out that developing the salt nutrient plans is to be done by stakeholders, funded and controlled, we'll say, by stakeholders. And again, all the plans are supposed to be done by May of this year with the possibility of a two-year extension. The other requirements are that regional board staff participate in the process, and that if there is a change in the basin plan that is necessary to adopt the salt nutrient plan, that it's done within a year of when the final plan is submitted to the regional board for consideration. And these salt and nutrient plans are not a one-size-fits-all. There is a lot of site-specific factors that influence them, and I listed some of them up there. And there's also required content of the plans that comes out of the recycled water policy. The roles and responsibilities of the stakeholders need to be included. There's also a salt nutrient balance, an assessment of the data, the groundwater data that's out there, a monitoring strategy in place for constituents of emerging concern, and implementation measures for salt nutrient management is to be included as well, and then CEQA and an anti-degradation analysis as appropriate. And developing these plans for all groundwater basins in the state is a huge and a very daunting task. So State Park staff used our GAMMA, our groundwater ambient monitoring and assessment database, to determine which of the basins in the state would be priorities for the first round of salt nutrient management. They picked about a fourth of all the groundwater basins that there are. They assigned 10 for priority in our region. And the kinds of filter that they used on the GAMMA database to come up with the priorities were things like 90% of the water supply wells, municipal groundwater pumping, agriculture groundwater pumping, and then to try to capture 60% of the land area in the state. So here's our 10 priority basins. These are only about 3% of all the basins that we have, and a little over of a quarter of our groundwater acreage. Here in the North Lahontan, we have the Honey Lake Valley is one of the priorities, Martis Valley and Tahoe Valley. And then in the south, there's the Owens, Indian Wells, Tehachapi East, Antelope, and then those are the three middle, lower, and upper Mojave. And the challenge in our region is that it's a big geographic area, the challenge for developing these plans, with not a lot of money and not a lot of stakeholders. Also, we have over 300, almost 350 named groundwater basins and sub-basins, and we're only looking at 10 for this first round, and a lot of square miles of groundwater. So our overall strategy has been that we are working with our integrated regional water management, or IRWM groups, to address the priority groundwater basins on a watershed scale. Those are for the 10 priority basins, and for the other 300, it'll fall on staff eventually to address them in groups as appropriate. And just as a reminder, the IRWM groups are collaborative groups that are managing all aspects of water resources in the region. It was created by the California Senate in 2002. And it divides the state into geographic regions that work together on water quality and water supply issues. And each of the group is putting together or has put together a comprehensive water quality and water supply plan. This is just a quick view of our six IRWM groups. We don't have any group yet in the very far north, and then there's a little bit down there without an IRWM group yet. And fortunately for us, there is a good array of the priority groundwater basins with the IRWM groups. Each of the IRWM groups got their very own priority groundwater basins to work on, and that just shows where they are. And what we've done on our past updates is back in October of 2011, we did a preview of what the Antelope Valley IRWM Salt Nutrient Management Group was doing. And we did the same for the Mojave Group a couple months later in January of 2012, because we thought that that way it would give you as a board and the stakeholders kind of a degree of comfort that we're all on the same page before they invested a lot of effort into doing their salt nutrient management plans. And then about a year ago, we did a general update on everything else that had been going on in the region, and it's time for another update. So right now, we have some kind of salt nutrient management work going on in 9 out of 10 of our priority groundwater basins. And this covers about 81% of the priority groundwater area. We also have draft plans. Some are more draftier than others for six of our priority basins. And on your paper copy, it says seven, but six is actually the correct number that we wanted to use. And this is a table that's summarizing the table that's in your agenda item, which is showing the actions to date and some of the milestones for that the stakeholder groups have been doing for the priority basins. There is one change that I wanted to point out, is that in the table that you have in the agenda, it says that there will be CEQA done by the Antelope Valley Group, where in actuality they're going to be doing CEQA not for the salt nutrient management plan, but instead on project by project basis. So that's the way that they're going to do that. And I'll just go over kind of one by one on the priority basins what we've been doing. This is a map, shows where the Antelope Valley Group is. And I did want to take a minute to introduce Erica Bench, who is here with the Antelope Valley IRWM group today. Thank you, Erica. The head stakeholders that are leading this effort for the Antelope Valley Salt Nutrient Plan development are the Los Angeles County Waterworks Districts and the Sanitation Districts of Los Angeles County. They did receive a grant, a Prop 84 grant from the Department of Water Resources that funded part of their salt nutrient management work, but it also is funding their IRWM plan update. They have a draft plan that we've been reviewing, and they're expecting a final plan to be done this year, later this year. And they've been using a variety of data sources, and they found that the data that they've used for their plan development has been more robust where it's more populated in the urban areas, and more and spottier in the rural areas. And some other key stakeholders in this effort are Edwards Air Force Base and the cities of Lancaster and Palmdale. And then moving on here to the Mojave, the Mojave IRWM has three priority basins, the upper, middle, and lower Mojave. And today with the Mojave IRWM is Anna Garcia. Thank you for coming, Anna. And other key stakeholders in this effort, besides the Mojave Water Agency, are Victor Valley Water Reclamation Authority, NRCS, the RCD, and the City of Hesperia, as well as San Bernardino County. And because this basin is partially overlaps into the Palm Desert region, there's been Palm Desert Regional Board staff helping as well. And their data sources have been from GAMA and USGS, as well as data that regional board that we have. And they have been using some SEP funding to partially fund their efforts too. Okay, the Tahoe Valley and Mars Valley priority basins are in the Tahoe Sierra IRWM geographic area, and South Tahoe Public Utilities District is leading the development right now of a salt nutrient assessment, with other key stakeholders being El Dorado County, Truckee River Watershed Council, Alpine County, City of South Lake Tahoe, Town of Truckee, as well as RCD and TRPA. Their approach has been a little bit different because they may be looking at using existing plans instead of developing a new comprehensive salt nutrient plan for their two basins, because there isn't any recycled water being used right now. And so what they're doing is a needs assessment to see if they need a more comprehensive plan rather than a draft plan. And that assessment will be done by the end of this year as well. And for the Owens Valley and the Indian Wells Valley priority basins, these are in the Inyo Mono IRWM group. And today, from the Indian Wells Valley area, we have Don Zadiba and Mike Stoner. Don's with Indian Wells Valley Water District, and Mike's with the China Lake Naval Weapons Station. And they've been taking the lead on behalf of the Indian Wells Groundwater Cooperative to work on their salt nutrient plan. We've been trying to get an effort going for the Owens, which is the only one of our 10 basins that doesn't really have a focused stakeholder group together to work on a salt nutrient management plan. And we're hoping to meet with Inyo County soon to see if we can convince them to maybe take a lead role in trying to get some of this those work started. So the other key stakeholders for the Indian Wells Valley group are, as I mentioned, the Water District and the Naval Air Weapon Station, and as well as Searles Valley Minerals, the City of Ridgecrest, Kern County, and Kern County Water Agency. And so a few weeks ago, we did get a draft, it's kind of a draft plan, draft work plan combination from the Indian Wells group that we've just started to review. And then for the Honey Lake Valley Basin, it's in the Lahontan Basin, IRWM. The Honey Lake Valley RCD is taking the lead on this, with other key stakeholders being Lassen County, City of Susanville, the Susanville India Rancheria, and Lassen Irrigation. They've been using data from the Pine Creek Coordinated Resource Management Planning efforts, as well as the Susan River Watershed Group's effort, and they're right now holding their stakeholder meetings and gathering data. They also received a Department of Water Resources grant that is partially funding their efforts. That brings us to the last basin, which is Tehachapi Valley East. It's in the Fremont Valley IRWM. This is an inactive IRWM group. The other stakeholder is the City of Mojave. They developed a draft soil nutrient management plan several years ago in September 2010, but they did it without any regional board participation. So now we're backtracking a little to work with them and see and sort of assess the adequacy of their plan and what else we would need to do in order for it to pass muster as an official salt nutrient management plan. And as you can see from all of these, there is a strong and diverse group of stakeholders that have been that have really stepped up to do a lot of this work, and we appreciate that. So our staff process for reviewing these salt nutrient management plans is to we've either a point person already assigned, or we will be assigning a point person for each basin as the plans start developing. But it really takes a team, we think, of reviewers to just kind of pull from different areas of expertise. So we're kind of looking at a three-pronged approach for review, where it's an administrative review is one prong to be sure that it's meeting the requirements of the recycled water policy, and then a technical review to assess the data and any modeling that they might have done. And then a third prong would be compliance with our basin plan. So those are the three prongs. And we're trying to come up with checklists so that as the reviews are done, they're done with some kind of degree of consistency throughout the different basins. I tried really hard to come up with some pros and cons for granting the extension, but all I could come up with was pros. Just as a reminder, all of these need to be done by May. There is a possibility of a two-year extension. All of these groups are going to need a two-year extension. And without the extension, it falls on the regional board to do the to either finish the planning effort themselves or put the planning effort aside and more stringently implement any groundwater provisions of our basin plan, or to just let it sit. And I don't think any of those three alternatives sound very appealing to me anyway. The one con that I could think of for not doing it, for not granting an extension, would be that we might lose some of our stakeholder momentum. But as Patty pointed out, there's funding in the budget for the IRWM groups to continue, and I don't really see those efforts fizzling anytime soon. So the process that we're proposing for an extension would be a written request to our executive officer, where the salt nutrient group would explain why the extension is needed and summarize their progress to date, summarize their stakeholder involvement, and then estimate how much additional time that they might need in order to complete their plan. And then the process for accepting the plan once it's completed is that if it is not consistent with the basin plan and a basin plan amendment is required, that we would follow the normal process to do a basin plan amendment. And if it is consistent with the basin plan, either it could be acknowledged as completed by our executive officer, or it could be a more formal board resolution from you. So those are kind of the two options for accepting a completed plan. And what we recommend is that we continue to do our review process, this three-pronged approach with a point person assigned per basin, and that we follow the process proposed to get a time extension. That would be a written request to our executive officer. And then we also think it would be good where the salt and nutrient groups want to come before you and kind of give you a preview of what they're doing before they go full steam ahead on developing their plan. And for accepting the plans, where it is in compliance with the basin plan, that you delegate the responsibility to accept the plan to our executive officer, or if it does not comply with the basin plan, that we would just continue to follow the basin plan amendment process. And there we go. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much. So as I understand it, you're looking for feedback from us on three things. One is whether or not there's an extension, that we should grant extension.
Right.
Actually, maybe there's four things. What the process should be for review, whether it should be a team approach. The process for recommending extensions, I already said that, so there are three. And then process for accepting the plans.
Correct.
And whether they're, when they're consistent or not consistent, whether the EO can do it or whether it needs to be the board.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you. So with that, go to board questions and comments. Mr. Pumphrey?
I was hoping it would be Mr. Diaz's turn. Apparently not. Well, my first comment is I can't imagine going forward with the extensions. Like you, I could just yell. Like you, I can't find any real con to the idea of going forward with the extensions. We have a lot invested in working with these groups, in addition to the great investment that they have made internally, and I would certainly hate to see us not honor that for a couple of reasons. First reason is we're going to get, I think, a good work product because of that relationship and because of that process. And two, that work product and that process is going to be a basis on which we can do a lot of other things with these groups in the future. So I don't think we want to do anything that weakens our partnership relationship with the IRWIMs or with their constituent groups. So So that's my first thought. My second thought is, you know, I can't imagine not doing a kind of a team review as you've outlined. You know, we want to do it in a consistent way, but I think we need to have more than one eye or set of eyes look at things, and I think we need to make sure that each group has their contact person or group of people to go forward with this. And my third thought in terms of acceptance is my understanding is that some of these organizations, if not all of them, would need a timely, fairly rapid form of acceptance and acknowledgement because of funding reasons or because they have obligations to give notice to other people that they finished their process and their process has been accepted by someone. So for that purpose, I think it would make sense to delegate that authority to the executive officer simply because it's less cumbersome. But I would like to see some mechanism by which the board can receive the plan, meet with, as a part of doing that, the folks who prepared the plan, talk to them about what not only what's in the plan, but what kinds of things we can see going forward with to work on in the future. I think it's a really important opportunity for a conversation between these partnering groups and ourselves. And so I would like to make sure that even if a letter goes out, we sit down in the same place with the people who have done this work on our behalf that we're benefiting from, acknowledge what they've done, thank them for the fact that we're taking benefit from it, and then also go and look and see, okay, in the future, did we enjoy working with each other? Can we see doing it again? Are there different ways we could have done what we did? Those kinds of things, because it's really hard for any individual group, organization, or person to do anything by themselves anymore. And so the idea that anytime we have a way to talk to somebody else about mutual concerns, we need to do it.
Thank you. Ms. Cox?
Cindy, I like one of your comments that one size does not fit all, and that truly acknowledges the extreme diversity of these 10 priority groundwater basins, so I really appreciate that perspective. As far as the extension, absolutely, we need to continue to cooperate with the Irwin areas. I would really enjoy the benefit of presentations from these different areas as they get to a level of development in the plans that they are ready to kind of share some of their solidified concepts with the board. I would appreciate that education. I would also like to see the acceptance of these plans by the board as a whole with concurrence or comments from staff. One of the questions I did have on the two-year extensions is whether or not that will affect SEP funding. In the Mojave-Irwin area, the salt nutrient management plan is being funded by SEP monies from BDWRA, and that's a critical component of the Irwin. So will there be any negative impact to any extensions in the use of SEP money?
I don't believe so. I know that the deadlines for the grant funding were independent, really, of the May 14th deadline. They were going off their own agenda. So I don't think with the SEP funds it will have a difference. I think they can continue forward and use all the funding and still meet our extended deadline.
Okay, so there's an acceptance that, you know, with the extension, you know, if there's a hard deadline built in on the expenditure of the steps, then there could be some flexibility there.
Yes.
Yes. So I just want to clarify, Ms. Cox, whether you are in agreement with what Mr. Pumphrey proposed, which is that an official letter could go out from the executive officer to accept the salt nutrient management plan, but then also have the group come in front of us after their plan is done. Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Jardine.
Yes, I'm in total agreement with granting the exemption. You know, I do believe they need to come before us, and I'm in total agreement with Peter and Kim. I think it's a daunting task for them and us. I understand.
Mr. Dias.
Yes, Cindy, first of all, a question. You emphasize the importance of recycled water in the salt and nutrient management plan, but should it also consider the impacts of imported water?
Yes, it should consider all impacts to the groundwater basin from the salt nutrient and other constituents, like constituents of emerging concern, for example. So yes, it should.
Then with regards to the questions that you presented, yes, I agree with the board supporting a request for extensions. I agree with Mr. Pumphrey that we could acknowledge completion in two manners, through received by the executive officer and a board resolution. But in instances in which the salt and nutrient management plan is not consistent with the basin plan, do you really foresee instances in which the inconsistency is unavoidable?
Just leave your mic on, Cindy.
We can only have one microphone on.
Okay,
that's why.
I apologize for that.
Yeah. Well, not being able to totally predict the future, because we haven't seen a lot of those plans yet. I could see, though, that somebody would propose a change in a water quality objective in order to accommodate more salt nutrient management planning to be assimilated into a groundwater basin. And in that case, it would not be consistent with the basin plan, and we would go through an anti-degradation analysis to consider whether or not we would want to allow that lowering of our water quality. So there could be that situation. So far, that has not been proposed.
Okay. Thank you, Cindy. Good presentation.
Thank you.
If I could add something to that also, there may be also things that we would want to put into the basin plan, like assumptions that were that come out of the salt nutrient management plans. For example, like if there, we're going to consider 20% increase to be significant or something like that. Those types of assumptions would have to be put into the basin plan themselves if we were going to rely on those kind of across the board, as opposed to kind of doing individual analysis for each permit.
Thank you. I agree. It was a very good presentation. I have two questions. One is on the Tahoe Sierra IRWIM. Regarding Martis Valley, I didn't hear Tahoe Donner PUD. It seems to me like they should be involved in that. I'm a little concerned about, I want to make sure the right people representing Martis Valley are part of this.
We will invite them anyway to make sure that they're involved in the process. Right now, it is Kennedy Jenks Consultants who is working with South Tahoe PUD as they're updating the Tahoe Sierra IRWM plan. And this assessment piece is kind of a small component of the overall plan development. So they've just started trying to do their assessment piece. So I'm not sure exactly who's been involved to date, but I will make a note that the Tahoe Donner PUD should be.
Yeah. I mean, there's apparently a lot of groundwater in Martis Valley, and then there are a lot of, there are other water basins around that don't have as much water that are looking very jealously at the Martis Valley water and wanting to take it away from Martis Valley, and I'm a little concerned about that because my water comes from Martis Valley. So I just want to make sure that all the right players have to do with Martis Valley are at the table on this. And then, so we grant the extension, and 2 years down the road, maybe, you know, we could do a lot of celebrations of the completed plans, but there is also a chance that we're now back in the same position that we would face now if we didn't grant the extension, which is that then the responsibility for developing the plan falls on the regional board. So I think we need to start developing a plan B for that contingency so that if that happens, we have a plan in place for how to move forward and aren't caught short.
Right, and the need for extensions is kind of a statewide need right now. They're except for the Santa Ana Water Board, whose plan was done before the recycled water policy even was adopted. There's going to be a lot of extension requests. There already has been some.
Yeah.
And as a group, because I'm part of the working group statewide that's working on these, we've raised this issue already, that what happens in 2 years, because the recycled water policy doesn't address that right now.
Yeah.
So that is something that we're thinking about, but we haven't received direction, and we don't have any answer to that right now.
Thank you.
Chair, may I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Timmy, when you were talking about the Martis Valley assessment, are they assessing recycled water use, or was it clear what they were going to assess?
They're assessing the need to do a salt nutrient management plan. So what they're doing is they're looking at documents, like there's the Martis Valley groundwater plan, for example, and they're seeing if that plan, in combination with other planning documents that are out there, can meet the needs that are spelled out to do a salt nutrient management plan. So they're not specifically looking at quantity, but they're just kind of seeing what else is out there right now to move forward on the plan.
Anyone in the audience have any questions or comments they'd like to make at this time? Don't be shy.
I don't have any comment cards.
Okay, so, I mean, it sounds to me like you're getting pretty clear direction from the board on all three questions. Yes to the extensions. Yes, we like the team approach to the review process. We would like to invite presentations from the groups as they have material to present. And the two-pronged approach for accepting the plans, a letter from the executive officer so that they can move forward, and also an opportunity for us to receive the plan, think about how to work together in the future, and to acknowledge all the hard work that's been done. This is
absolutely
a daunting project putting in, so we want to celebrate that when plans are accepted. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And also thank you to the people who came from some considerable distances in some cases today to be with us this morning. Thank you for your support and your help, and even though you didn't make comments, we look forward to seeing the finished products. This is very exciting for us.
Well said. I mean, down the road, these plans are going to make a big difference. They're going to be really important for California in general. So, you know, we know that this is very important work that's going on. So, we support it. And with that, I think we are concluded with this month's meeting of the Lahontan Water Board. Thank you for coming.